I thought it'd be fun to start by showing you guys a couple pictures at the beginning of each teaching, just to kind of give you a sense of who I am and who you're hearing from. And I thought I'd start with, this is my family. This was in October. We took this picture of my children, well, my whole family. Was massive troopers, because while it looks beautiful and gorgeous outside, it was actually freezing. And so we would, with the photographer, stand there and we'd get all set up in our pictures, and we had our jackets on, and then the photographer would be like, okay, and so we'd throw them out of the frame, and then we'd stand there like it was, and then we'd put our jackets back on. So that's my family. This is Rich. He is home with Josh and the boys. If you know Rich, this would be an accurate depiction of my husband's personality. He is always laughing, and he's making us laugh, and I swear I'm not about to hit him, though it does look like I'm about to slap him. I'm not. These are my men. Justice is my oldest son. He's 13. And then Judah is 10 and clearly looks a little cold. And Garrison is 7. These are my teen girls. They are with me tonight. Rory's my oldest. She's 16. And Graham is 15. When they heard I was speaking at this women's conference, they said, we want to come with you. And we want to hear you. And we want to hear what the Lord has to say. And I said, that's great. And I went home. I went into my bedroom, and I was very humbled that my girls wanted to come tonight and support me. I think of that verse that when Jesus came up out of the Jordan River and he was getting baptized, after he got baptized, it said the Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove, and a voice out of heaven said, this is my son. Sorry. Who I delight in, and my girls are my daughters who I delight in. So I'm going to take a drink.
Mm-hmm.
I am excited to be here this week. I'm excited to be with you women. I counted up from 6:30 to 2:30 tomorrow. We have 20 hours together. Hypothetically, some of that would be spent sleeping. So we have less than that, but we have 20 hours to be together. I was thinking about years ago at conferences I would go to, and just in my life at the time, I kind of felt like it was hard for me to disconnect from my world and my life and whatever was going on in it, to connect with the Lord and to hear something from him. And years ago, the Lord laid on my heart to ask him for one thing, and I appreciated that Mary said that. So he's like, Morgan, start asking me for one thing. It might just be one thing. It might be more than one thing. But ask me for one thing that each conference that you can go to, I'll speak one thing to you. Maybe it's a conversation in the hallway. Maybe it's the speaker. Maybe it's a seminar. Ask me for one thing that brings value and adds to the conference. We're going to be here anyway, right? We're going to log the hours. It would be, I think, a gift from the Lord to walk away from this conference with at least one thing and connect with the Lord on one of those things. So I purposely put this teaching at the beginning of the conference because everything that I'm going to share with you guys tomorrow comes from this that I learned tonight about your walk with the Lord and your relationship with the Lord and prioritizing it. And everything that I learned and that everything that I'm going to share with you guys tomorrow all started from prioritizing my quiet times and my relationship and sitting at the Lord's feet and hearing from him. But it didn't always used to be like that. And I just thought tonight I could share with you and talk you through sort of the journey that the Lord has put me on and the things that he's taught me in quiet times and just my relationship with him and hearing from him. So let's pray, and then we'll jump in. Lord, I just come before you tonight, and God, I am thankful to be here. I pray that you would be in this room. I know you are. God, I'm so thankful to have an opportunity to share what you've taught me. And God, you have taught me things, and I look forward to reflecting the lessons that you've taught me and the stories that you've taught me and reflecting that glory on you. God, we want to hear from you this weekend. We trust that you have something to say to each one of us. I know, Father, that it takes faith to be here, and we all have a lot that we're dealing with and a lot that we have going on, and it's the end of a long, busy week. And God, we give you our 20 hours, and we just tell you, we humble ourselves before you, we put our hearts at your feet, and we ask that you would speak to us, and we ask that you would give us one thing that from this conference forward would be something that has changed and has been marked in our lives. And God, we just invite you here tonight, and we invite you here this weekend, and we just ask that you would speak through me. I pray that you'd settle my heart. I pray that I would communicate the words that you want me to say. I pray that you would speak to each one of our lives and speak to each one of our hearts. And we just give you the glory, and we thank you for our life, and we thank you for tonight. Amen. Okay, so I remember it was 15-ish years ago, because Graham was 6 months old, and we were involved in The Rock in Denver, well, Fort Collins, and then 6 months before, Rich and I had moved down to Denver, and we had started a little church down in Denver, and every fall, we would do a rock retreat together up in the mountains somewhere, and this year happened to be Cripple Creek, Colorado. I asked Rich if it was Cripple Creek or Crippled. He said he didn't know. So, I don't know. It's one of them. But we went to the rock retreat. We were going to the rock retreat up in the mountains. I had Rory and Graham. And my dad was the guest speaker. He's a pastor of a church in Omaha, and he was coming out to be the guest speaker. And so we picked Mom and Dad up from the airport, and we took them up. We drove up to the mountains, you know, got all settled into the staff cabin, whatever. I don't remember the premise of Dad's teachings. I don't remember what the weekend was. I was not there on Friday night because my child was quite fussy and I needed to put her to bed. But I happened to show up the next morning and I was listening to Dad speak, and he shared about how he became a believer. Mom and Dad lived a very different life than they raised me, and they both came from lost homes. A lot of brokenness, a lot of hurt, a lot of dysfunction, and God saved them out of that, and I never knew anything but that. But Dad was sharing that he became a Christian, and he came to the point when he was very early on that he realized that that if he was going to grow, if he was going to change from where he was at, that he needed to be in the Word on a daily basis, on a regular basis. And so he started praying that the Lord would give him a love for the Word. And Dad shared that story, and I had never heard that story before. And Dad said that morning, he goes, and in 20 years, that was 15 years ago, so he's now 35 years, he could say this, but he goes, and in 20 years, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say I haven't missed one day in the Word. And I was kind of struck by that because I'm his daughter, you know, and so then I start thinking. And I was like, I don't think I've ever seen Dad miss a day in the Word. He's sick. I would still see him. I mean, he rarely ever got sick, but I would see him. I have a distinct memory of him in the bed reading the Word. We'd go on vacation. He would read the Word. He was very faithful in reading the Word. I always thought it's because Dad was a disciplined person, and this is just what he did, and he knew he needed to do it, and so he read the Word. And that was the first time where I heard him say, I asked the Lord to give me a love for the Word. And I realized that God answered that prayer with Dad. And so then I thought, okay, well, if that worked for Dad, I mean, I'm his daughter, right? I could pray that prayer, and maybe that would work for me. And I had grown up, I became a Christian when I was six, and quiet times were something we did. It was expected of us, and we did it, and, you know, it was on our chore list, and I didn't not like them. They were a part of what I did. They were not something that I did because I loved them and because I felt like it was going to change my life. And from that conference on, when Graham was 6 months old, so 15 years ago, I started praying that the Lord would give me a love for his word, that I could not wake up in the morning without wanting to sit at his feet, that I could not imagine not having a touch point with my father every single day, that it would not be something that I just checked off, though sometimes I'm sure it would be, but it would be more like I long to spend time with him, that I long to sit at his feet and hear from him, that it would not just be something that I checked off doing. And the Lord is always faithful, and the Lord answers prayers that are prayed to him, and he started answering that prayer in my life. And these are three of the things that the Lord has been teaching me. Everything that I'm going to share this weekend are life lessons for me. They're lessons that the Lord has been teaching me in my life, and I'm positive that he's going to keep teaching them to me in my life. But the first thing, one of the first things that he taught me, that he showed me, is in Matthew 11:28. Says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think on your points is your verse, and your first point, is Jesus wants us to come to him. So while I was simultaneously asking the Lord to give me a love for his word and a love for a relationship with him and a longing for a relationship with him, I realized that I also needed to just do it, that I needed to discipline my flesh, that I needed to discipline myself, and that I needed to do it, and then I needed to act, and I needed to come to him. I'm sure some of you are moms. When I had littles, one of the ways that we taught them to come was I would say, come touch my leg, because it would give them like an actual physical thing to do as opposed to come here, you know, they'd be like running away. So it's come touch my leg. And the Lord taught me, Mark, you need to come to me. You need to be purposeful. You need to be deliberate. You need to carve 15 minutes out of your day. You need to sit at my feet and you need to come to me. That looks very simple in my life. I have a journal. Every morning, I stumble to the coffee pot. Josh and Krista got it out of the cupboard this morning, dusted it off, and I got my cup of coffee. And I get my cup of coffee. It's the first thing I do. Of course, sometimes it's not, you know, like my alarm doesn't go off right away or whatever. But 99.9% of my days, it is the first thing I do. I go get a cup of coffee. I get my Bible and my journal. I sit down. I journal. And in my life, this looks like I'm pouring out my heart to the Lord. Maybe I had a bad day yesterday. Maybe I had a great day yesterday. Maybe I'm super burdened by something that is going on with one of the kids. Maybe I'm praying through or thinking about something that's going on with one of my girls in church or women in church or whatever. I journal, and it's in a communication and a conversation that I have with the Lord. And then I open the 1 year up. I've been doing the 1 year forever. And I will probably never stop doing the 1 year. And I ask the Lord for a verse. Give me a verse that I can obey today. Give me a verse that I need to do better at. Give me a verse that I could speak encouragement to my children with. Give me a verse that I need to get better at. Speak to me this morning. And I write my verse down, and that's what my quiet times look like. I am not a complicated woman. I am not a deep thinker. I tend to be very logical, very straightforward. This is what I do. This is what I do in that I sit before the Lord's feet and I have a quiet time with him. The verse in Proverbs 5:23, it says, for lack of discipline, they will die, led astray by their own great folly. I will say this. It does take discipline. I think one of the things that we have as women who call ourselves Christians is that we don't feel to act. We act to feel. If you wait to want to have a quiet time, you will not have a quiet time. If you act on it because you know that it's what the Lord has for you and because you know that he promises to bring comfort to you. He promises to come alongside of you. He promises relationship with you. He promises, hey, I'm going to help you with these things. That's why we sit at the Lord's feet. That's why we have quiet times. We don't wait till we feel like having a quiet time to have a quiet time. We have it regardless of how we feel. We are not women. who are led astray by our own great folly because we lack discipline in our lives of having quiet times. And that's one of the things that the Lord taught me. And it's funny because you decide that, right? You think, okay, tomorrow morning I'm going to have a quiet time. I'm going to get up 15 minutes early and I'm going to have a quiet time. And I guarantee you, your alarm is not going to go off, or a baby's going to be up a million times. Your job's going to call you into work or want you to come into work. The devil does not want us to have quiet times. When we have quiet times, when we read the word, our lives are changed and we become women who are different, and we don't look anything like the women around us, and the devil doesn't want that. And our flesh certainly doesn't want that. So we don't feel to act. We act to feel. We come sit at the Lord's feet and we trust that he is going to speak to us. Looking back in hindsight, I think the Lord wanted me to start having more regular quiet times because he knew things were going to get really difficult and things were going to get really hard for me, for us. When we were in Fort Collins, it was a big, big church, and Rich was always busy with lots of men and discipling and lots of meetings. I was busy with lots of women and discipling, and then I had the girls, and I started being busy with them. We went from this really big house that we rented to a tiny, it was like 3,000 square foot house that we rented in Fort Collins to 700 square feet that we rented in downtown Denver. And then I had the girls with me, obviously. We had one car because you had to pay for parking in Denver, and we couldn't afford to pay for two parking. So we went from a church on Sunday morning to hundreds of people to a church in my apartment with 20. And in hindsight, when I look back, I think the Lord was very kind, and he was, I think, taking away from my life and from Rich's life a lot of the crutches that we had probably been using to not maybe look super clearly at our marriage and our relationship. And the Lord, in his faithfulness, wanted something more for us and thought that there was something better for us. And so he kind of started stripping away all those crutches. And it very quickly, in a very short amount of time, revealed that we had fairly massive cracks in the foundation of our marriage. And our marriage got really, really hard, really, really fast. And it became, and it remained difficult for 4 or 5 years, and was the most heartbreaking time I have ever experienced and the most lonely time that I've ever experienced. And I think that it's a very sobering thing when you're getting married and you are expecting it to be the love of your life, and it's a very lonely thing to feel alone in a marriage and feel alone in a relationship with the person that you love and that you are in love with. And I am incredibly thankful that I had started having quiet time shortly before then on a very regular basis. We'll do the next verse so I can get control. Because the next verse says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Your second point is he promises rest for your souls. The amount of times that I would wake up the next morning after Rich and I had been trying to work through something, and we had help. Rick and Neva, my aunt and uncle, Josh's mom and dad, they were down in Denver with us, and they waited in alongside of us, and they were teaching us the tools that we needed, and they were alongside us. We were not alone. I still felt very lonely, but the amount of mornings that I woke up, and I stumbled to that coffee pot, and I poured a cup, and I sat down, and I poured out my heart to him. God, this is not how it's supposed to be. And he spoke rest to my soul in so many ways, in so many different verses, and so much comfort. "Morg, I have something better for you this is not how it's going to be, but you have to show up and you have to do the work and you have to keep showing up and you have to keep sitting here and I'll teach you. And I love how that verse says, learn from me for I'm gentle and humble in heart. I needed to learn some things. There was some things that I genuinely needed to learn about just being a wife to Rich and being a daughter of the king and how that would even express itself in a marriage that was respectful and honoring and loving. I needed to learn some things, but I was learning them from someone whose heart towards me was gentle and humble, as opposed to someone whose heart towards me was harsh and unyielding, that I would sit down and I would open up my 1 year and I would read the 1 year, and so many times, so many verses, Mark, this is what you need to do. And this is what happened last night, and this is what you need to do the next time it happens, over and over and over and over again. The Lord taught me, and he taught me in gentleness, and he taught me with a humble heart. And I was seeking to learn from him. I love that verse, Hebrews 4:12, says, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. To this day, the amount of times that I have been engaging with something and I open my Bible up and I read the 1 year, the amount of times that has happened over the last 15 years of having a quiet time almost every day, I have missed a couple. In my defense, I was like having children. I was not, you know, like you're delivering a baby, and I wasn't like, give me my Bible. It was, you know, I have missed a couple days here and there. I can't say like dad that I haven't missed a day in 20 years. I have. I definitely have. But the amount of times that the Lord has come alongside me and communicated to me, hey, this, it has so shown me over and over and over again that God is real, that God is alive, that God is in my life, that he is as real to me as every one of you in this room. The first few times it happens, okay, fine, it's a coincidence, right? Like the first couple times it happens, like, really? I've read the 1 year, like 20 years in a row or 15. I have never read that verse before. That verse is not in the Bible. And then you're like, you made that up. And then you're like, no, actually, he didn't. That's in the Word. And he brought it to your attention on this day, even though you've read this verse every single time for 15 years. It speaks to you in a different way, and he communicates it to you in a different way. The Word of God is alive and active, and it's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. And that's why it changes us as women, because you sit down, you open your Bible, you read the Word, and God speaks to you, and he speaks to what's going on in your life that day, and then you get it. You're like, okay, this is what the Lord wants me to do. This is what I need to do here, and I will do it. The last verse in that section says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Which is your third point, his burden is light. I appreciate how he doesn't shy away in any way from admitting that life feels heavy. I appreciate that he does not say to us as Christian women, hey, so all you have to do is become Christian and everything is going to be super easy and you're never going to have a hard time and your life isn't going to experience heartbreak and you're not going to experience heartache or hard times. I love that he says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I appreciate that he communicates, yep, we all carry one. We all carry a burden. Our lives do not feel easy. But if we're carrying his burdens, that he promises an easy one and he promises a light one. And it's been so good for me. It's been so good for me to even connect with. If I am feeling weary, and if I'm feeling burdened about something, and I go for a prayer walk almost every day with my dog, Charlie. It's a lab that I have. I miss her. But she and I go on a walk. I say a prayer walk. She just thinks we're running. She doesn't really know anything. But we go on a prayer walk every day, and it's like a 2-mile loop. She probably does 4 in the amount of time she goes out and she comes back and she goes out and she comes back. And I do my 2 miles, and I pray through just some verses, and I just pray about whatever's on my heart and what's going on. And it's been so good for me to just be thinking about these verses. And these are one of my life verses, and have been for years, these three, Matthew 11:28-30. But it's been so good for me when I think about this verse, because my yoke is easy, Morg, and my burden is light. If I'm not feeling like the hard thing or the burden that I'm carrying, if I'm not feeling like the yoke that I'm carrying or the burden that I'm carrying is light and easy, it's been really good for me to check my heart and to check my soul and to check what I have allowed to come into my life. Hey, what have I said yes to, or what have I allowed to come into my thinking, or what have I allowed to come into my heart that's causing me to feel like my yoke is not easy and my burden is not light? And then I can kind of evaluate, yep, okay, then I need to probably let this go, whatever this is. And for me, it's been a number of different things, but I love that the Lord promises, you walk with me, and my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. And I think a huge amount of that is because we're sitting at his feet, having quiet times and connecting with him. It's interesting because, so dad's a pastor. So I was a pastor's daughter, and then I became a pastor's wife. And so, hypothetically speaking, I've been involved in women's lives for a long time. I don't even know, 20, 35 years, something like that. Across the board, every time, the women that change, the women that grow, are the women that are consistently in the Word and consistently having a relationship with the Lord and consistently disciplining their flesh and not led astray by their own great folly, and they're having quiet times. And they are not feeling to act. They are acting to feel. They are in charge of their flesh, and they tell themselves, we're getting up and we're having a quiet time and we're going to sit with the Lord. We are going to mark time one way or the other. We are going to be a week from today in a week, Lord willing, right? And in a year, we're going to be 1 year from today. And we're going to be 5 years from today, and 10, and 15, and 20. We're all going to mark time. If you don't do something different than you've always done, in 1 year from today, you're not going to be in any different place than you are right now today. Those things that are in our lives that we don't like, that when we go to bed at night and all the lights are turned off and you lay in bed and I lay in bed and I think, oh, I was kind of ugly today. And I think I was kind of ruled by my emotions today. And I don't like the way that I did that today. Those things that we all have, including myself, those things are in our lives because they're trying, the Lord would like them to drive us to sit before him. And he wants to change those in each one of our lives. And I think the amazing, incredible thing is, not only does he say, hey, you are saved, right? I have given you the gift of salvation, and I have given you the gift of a new life. But then he also says, and I can change you, and I can make you a woman who is unrecognizable to you, the woman that you are today, and I can change these things in your life. And this is how. And it's so simple, right? It's not easy, but it's so simple. It requires disciplining our flesh. We are going to mark time. We are going to mark time. The time is going to come, and the time is going to pass us by. What are we doing with that? Are we going to be any different 1 year from now than we are right now? So that's what I wanted to share with you guys tonight. I was talking with Krista as we were driving here, and I thought, gosh, if I'm going to err on anything, I am going to err on a little shorter tonight, because we still have all day tomorrow, and I get that Friday night is full and on the end of a long, busy week. So I'm going to pray, and Mary or Krista are going to come up. Okay. Lord, we do just thank you for tonight, and we thank you for, God, just who you are. We thank you that you have offered us salvation. We thank you that you have offered us a new life. We thank you, God, that you have offered just to transform us as women, and that you say, hey, you can be a different woman than you are. And God, we just thank you for that, and we thank you for the hope that's in that. We thank you, God, that you want to speak to us tonight, you want to speak to us tomorrow, and we just invite you to do that. And pray that everyone get good night's sleep tonight, and that you would just help us to be refreshed and back here tomorrow. In your name I pray. Amen.